exciting day. Well, talk about an exciting day. This day is exciting for a number of reasons. I think personally, 26 years ago today, we packed up all of our belongings in a 24-foot U-Haul, loaded the kids in a car. Jennifer was 11 years old. Laura was 7. Melanie was 9 months old. Yours truly was 32. I don't think I look like I'm 32 anymore. I feel like it, though, at times. And we moved to Ponca City, Oklahoma, to begin a ministry at the Pioneer Bible Church. And what a journey it's been. And I'm constantly amazed that it's lasted this long. I'm just thankful to the Lord that He's allowed it all these many, many years. And I know I express the same feelings for my wife. My first Sunday to preach was August 31st. And I preached from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on the God-pleasing church. And that's been my heart's desire from the very beginning, that we would be a God-pleasing church. And it's been an adventure, it really has. And to think of all the people that have walked through the door of Pioneer Bible Church, many have gone on now, some to be with the Lord, some to move away to other locations, but for that duration of time, we were together and had a ministry together, and now here we are, you know, this last Sunday of August of 2012. And we're a family, we're a church family, and I thank God for that. And so today's especially special to me, and I thank God for it. Part of the blessing of ministry has been our support of missionaries over the years. And this morning, we have one of our missionaries, and the way this relationship began was kind of unique because until today, we never met them face to face. At least I can't remember. Maybe you were here some years ago. I don't know, but I don't think so. I know some of your family's been here, but your aunt, Anita, who, by the way, turns, what, 40, 39 today, is it? Is it? Yeah, about that, right? Yeah. Happy birthday. It's quite appropriate that today's your birthday and your niece is here. But she started, you know, talking to me and talking to others about ministry of the Wilsons down in Bolivia. And she talked enough that suddenly we're supporting them. But we heard things that intrigued us, and the elders took this in consideration, and we began to support them a little over a year ago. Without even having them come to Pioneer Bible Church to share in person their work. But we just felt a kinship with them, and that is, I think, proven so true, especially just that relationship that we've had in prayer for you all, because we have united together to pray earnestly for you all and just to get you home and for God's undertaking as you finalize Nicole's relationship with your family. And it's just been exciting to us as we have read your emails and have seen your faith through your emails. That's been an encouragement to us as a church. And so when we heard that you were back and relatively close by, being in Wichita, we thought we have to have them come. And so here they are today. And so that's really special, and we're excited. We really are to have you here, and so we're going to give the morning to you, and it begins with Monty coming to share God's word with us, and then as well they're going to share during the second hour and in a less formal way with all of us so that we can hear directly from them as to their ministry as well as to what the future has for them. So Monty, will you please come? And thank you, brother, for your willingness to share this morning. And we know that God has given you something that we need to hear. And so may God use you. Blessings on you.
Good morning. Or I should say, buenos dias, hermanos, hermanas. Anita, are you 60? We've always had an odd relationship. There's a reason we stayed in Bolivia for 11 years. 9 years. It was so long, I forgot how many years it was. Again, good morning, and it is a pleasure to be here. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the rain that you have blessed this area with. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have to teach us through your word. Thank you for your word and the truth and the love that you pour out through it into our lives and how you guide and direct us, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, that you would take me out of the place, out of the way, and that you would use me as your vessel, your tool this morning. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Faithful, loyal, trustworthy, unfailing, uncompromising, devoted, dependable, reliable, constant. How is God faithful? He is faithful in his purpose. He is faithful in his plan. He is faithful in his protection. He is faithful in his provisions. He is faithful in finances. He is faithful in comfort and encouragement. He is faithful in rest. He is faithful in leading. And I could go on. A lot of things come to mind when we think of God's faithfulness. Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, 23 and 24? Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Without doubt or hesitation. Is that hard? How well do we put everything into God's hands? I know we are not perfect, and, well, let's face it, things just don't always go as we plan, especially when you have little kids. The big question to ask ourselves is, can I trust him, or will I allow God to be faithful? Have you ever found yourself wondering, will he really be faithful to my life? And if so, what should be our response be? In other words, can I give myself to him in total surrender? And if I do, what will he require of me? It can be a challenge to trust God, and when the world around us is telling us, take care of it yourself or do it yourself. One of the challenges that we are facing as we return to the States after 9 years is a lot of the focus in the U.S. is you need this to make yourself feel better. I would love to see someone do some research on how well or how many people are really happy after buying something or doing something. Maybe that next warning label that you see on everything would say at the bottom of a TV show, warning, this ad may cause you to want to buy this item, but it will likely only be faithful in making you happy for 12 hours. Sorry. What if God disappoints me? What if things don't turn out the way I hope they will? I know in my own life that there have been times that I had trusted God when nearly everything around me was telling me just to take it into my own hands. For example, when we live on 100% support as missionaries, and from month to month we wait to hear how much we're going to receive for the next month. And there have been times from we'd get the email, okay, this month you get X amount of dollars, and we always prayed, oh God, just take care of us, help us. And he was always faithful. He always knew how to provide through other means or get through that month. Do I trust God to provide? Is it worth the risk? Throughout this message, I'd like to give testimony to the Lord's faithfulness in my own life and the life of my family. I think one of the first times I recognized God's faithfulness was 2 months after I totally surrendered my life to Christ at age 25. I had come to the realization that the Lord did have a purpose for me, and although I didn't know what it would be, I was excited to see what was next in my life. You see, as I looked back over my life, I could see that the Lord had been faithful to me in protecting me, and obviously as he had a plan for my life. He had allowed me to be raised in a church. He had protected me at time after time as I made foolish mistakes as a young man, including sparing my life several times in car accidents and allowing me to be drawn to a church on a Sunday evening when I wanted to run the other way. Let me stop here and share with you about his overriding purpose. The Lord did not create us on a whim. He desired to spend time with his children. He wanted to share his love. Genesis 1:27 tells us, "So God created mankind in his own image. In his image, God created them, male and female." He created them. When sin did not come into the earth, when sin did come into the world, he did not give us, back up. When sin did come into the world, he did not give up on mankind, but rather gave all. He gave his only son. This may not be new to us, and if we really think about how much he loves us, it will help us understand his trustworthiness. Because he is faithful, we can trust him. Therefore, we should follow him in everything, holding nothing back. When you allow God to do the leading, you never know where you will end up. Now, with that in mind, let's fast forward 7 years after my conversion, and it's May 30th, 2003, and I was embarking with my wife, Andrea, on a great adventure. Little did I know that the 2-year commitment that we made to serving in Bolivia would turn into 9 years. Over the past several years, I have learned that God not only had a purpose to love all of mankind, but he had confirmed to me that he had plans for my life. His plan has included many things along the way, not always things I expected, but things that turned out to be for his good and for my good, his glory. Now that I have been blessed with a wife and a calling to serve him overseas, these two were ways that I trusted God to be faithful. I gave up on dating when I became a Christian, and I allowed God to work out the details. I wasn't very good at it, so obviously he's a lot better than I am. I honestly had no clue about mission work. Even though I grew up in a church, I didn't pay attention to the missionaries that would come and share once in a while, and didn't know a lot about what they did overseas or anything. And so I trusted God in that and took care of all the details, and it's been awesome to see how he worked out that. And then he put me in a lot of training and stuff. So are you like me and have to be reminded from time to time that the Lord has a plan? In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." To me, this is a great comfort in knowing that God has it all taken care of. He reminds us of his plan in Philippians, where Paul says in chapter 1, verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." For Andrew and I, we trusted God with the adoption process and that he would bring the adoption to a completion. Was there times when I questioned God's plans? Yes. You know, I spent hours wondering what God was thinking or what his, yeah. But I always had a peace about trusting him. It may be scary to trust in his plan, but when we let go and follow him, rather than trying to lead him in the direction that we want to go, amazing things can happen. When we began the adoption process of Nicole, we truly felt his leading, that this was part of his plan for us. Accepting that plan, we knew we would have to rely on him to work out the details, because at the time, U.S. citizens were not allowed to adopt living kids. We had to trust that he knew what he was doing, and of course he did. But it was not on our time frame. When we anticipated having the whole adoption completed in 2 years, he never seems to work out on our schedule and in the way that we would even necessarily, but his ways were always better. I remember times when we would be told by someone in the courts or a lawyer we were getting close. It might be 6 more months or 2 weeks, and so we would start to think, okay, when we start, what do we need to do to start moving to the states or preparing? Because we just can't pick up and leave. And then a couple weeks later, we would hear, oh, it might be 6 more months. Or and the worst was, oh, it might be more like 2 more years. kind of a letdown. And yeah. So not all, or but one thing that we always did was to turn and trust to God over what people would tell us. We may hear all kinds of things from people, but when it comes down to it, I must put my trust in God first and allow him to do leading. In 2005, Andrea had Kayla, and Nicole's mother passed away from cancer and went home to be with the Lord. Now we had raised support for 2 people for 2 years. When we committed to adopting Nicole, we anticipated it would take more than, we'd be there for more than a 2-year commitment, but we trusted the Lord and we knew we couldn't leave Bolivia. So in 2005, it seemed we'd extend our stay a little bit. However, as the years passed, we ended up serving in Bolivia much more than 2 years, and our family grew from 4 to 5 when Brina came along, or Sabrina. Sabre in Espanol, or Spanish, sorry. Needless to say, funds were really tight. There were months when we did not know we would make ends meet. However, the Lord had a plan. He would provide, and we trusted him in that. There were days when we really wondered. For example, one December, we received $900 that month, when our expenses would come to a minimum of $1,200 if we cut out quite a bit. And that didn't include gifts for our children. So we prayed. And by the end of the month, Lord showered us with gifts, extra gifts that came in. And we were able to buy gifts for the kids and meet the minimum requirements. Matthew 6, 25 and to 34, the Lord reassures us that he knows our needs and that we don't need to be worried about them. This includes physical needs, emotional and spiritual. When we would get discouraged and feel like we would never see our home country or our families and friends, he would always find a way to comfort us and encourage us. Sometimes I would jokingly call or say that we were in the Bolivian prison and that we had freedom to run around the country, but we just couldn't get out of it. Because of the adoption. This definitely was true in ministry as well. While I'd love to share with you about all the ministries that we participated in over the years, and they would just take too much time. We would be here for months. I'll just mention a few. Psalms 23 reminds us of his perfect desire to care for us, just as a shepherd cares for his sheep. He wants us to experience rest and refreshment as well. He has been faithful in doing just that. When we were burned out beyond what we could handle, he gave us new ministry. When we needed a break, he would bring others alongside us who could help us in ministry. He constantly allowed us to see fruit from our spirit, from our ministries. We were encouraged by a young man in a community near the hospital that we served at for the first 3 years. He came back and said, "Do you remember me? I came and you shared with me about Christ. Not only am I walking with the Lord, but my whole family is too." Other times, college students would email us and tell us how the Lord used youth group to teach them and transform their lives. Individuals involved in Bible studies would share with us their growth. People would constantly thank us for serving, or our service and testimony of God. For the last few years, we worked at the school, Karachi Pampa Christian School, and where we were able to fill in wherever needed. While none of this came at our effort, the Lord would graciously remind us that He had a plan for us being in Bolivia, not just for the adoption, but for ministry. Not only was He faithful in providing finances, encouragement, and rest, but He was also faithful in His protection of us. We had so many close calls on the streets, we can't even count them. Sorry if I cut you off or run a red light in the city, because we do that there. have to tell this story. There was about 3 years ago, I was coming back to, I had to come back to the States for a couple weeks. And so I was practicing driving in the States, in Cochabamba. So I was stopping at red lights, because we have intersections, or what are those things called? Stoplights. And Kayla, at the time, she was up 3 or 4, and she's in the back seat of the car, and she's like, "Daddy, why are you stopping at the red light?" And dawned on me, huh? Yeah, they do watch. But yeah, so they're great at backseat driving. It would be easy to we get an illness. We can't drink the water, of course, or anything like that. And so He would always protect us with that. And then we had dogs on the streets everywhere. There'd be packs of dogs. And praise the Lord, we never got bit by one. People would tie some kind of green plastic around the dog's neck or something to show people that dog's had its shots, and just to kind of warn you. And there's a lot of dogs that didn't have that little green tag, and so you never knew. But He always protected us from those dogs, and then also from muggings or anything worse. We also praise God for protecting our beautiful daughters, and being that Kayla and Brina are, especially Brina with blonde hair, they always want to touch her hair and take pictures and stuff. And He was always faithful in protecting us. And even when they were babies, people would come up and offer money to buy our children. And, you just kind of hold on a little tighter and walk away. It was a common practice sometimes. Psalms 84, the Lord calls Himself a sun and a shield. Missionary Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission, writes, "The world, the flesh, and the devil are very real. And unaided, we have no power to keep or deliver ourselves from them. But the Lord God is a shield. To know and to do His will is our safety and rest." We once heard from missionaries serving in a dangerous area in Colombia that the most dangerous place in the world is being out of the will of God. While we don't believe our lives will be easy and without challenges or difficulties, the Lord will take care of us. In fact, it is written in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." So if God has a purpose for all mankind, and included with that is a plan for our lives, He will provide everything you need to fulfill that plan, and will protect you as He carries you through and takes you along the path. One thing that we need to remind ourselves is that there is no great risk for wherever he calls us. In Ponca City, Alaska, Bolivia, or wherever. In trusting God, we can rely on him, and who knows, each of us, he knows how far and what he can, where he can take us, and where we can best serve. He knows what we can handle. He knows how best to use us. Are we willing to allow him? Perhaps he hasn't called you so far away, but what he has called you is challenging, or you're struggling with it. Maybe he's called you to teach your family members who are far from the Lord. Maybe it's to serve in prison ministry. Maybe it's to reach people with special needs. Maybe it's working with children or retirees. Whatever it is, there are always excuses or hang-ups. Looking back over the time we spent in Bolivia, I don't know if Andrea and I would have gone if someone would have told us we would be there for 9 years. We all likely have times in our lives that things did not go as we have planned, but looking back, we can see that God had other plans, and far better plans that we can imagine. So ask yourself, how do I fit into God's overall purpose? Does he have a plan for my life? Am I trusting him to help me fulfill that plan? Is he trustworthy? The Lord is faithful, and not just to those who commit to serving on the mission field. We are just as normal as you. We have struggles, we have problems, we have concerns. God has called us to serve full-time in missions. That's our calling, and God has been faithful in guiding us and taking care of us. How has he shown his faithfulness to you? Let's look at Psalms 117, the shortest psalm of all of them, but there's a powerful reminder in that. Praise the Lord, all the nations. Exalt him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Reflecting on God's faithfulness in our lives, we can be encouraged. Let this remind us of his faithfulness in the past, and that he does have our future taken care of, if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior. For in Hebrews 13, we read that God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was faithful in your past, he will remain and continue to be faithful in your future. He will be faithful today and your tomorrow. Now that we're back in the States, we've gotten the question, so what's next? As many of you likely know from reading our newsletters, we are praying about and talking to Operation Mobilization at this time after 9 years, and Andrew and I feel like we need some time in the States to reaccustom to being here. And then our three daughters all were born in Bolivia, and so they've never actually lived in the States, and so we feel like we need to spend some time for them as well to learn to what life in the States is like. And so we're praying about OM, and they have their home offices in Tyrone, Georgia, just south side of Atlanta, and so we have talked to them and praying about some positions that they have, but we'll see how the Lord leads. We learned a long time ago not to plan too far ahead, because it always seems to change. We'll see, and we look forward to sharing with you guys where God's taking us next. And we're not at all opposed to going back overseas. Not sure about Bolivia, but we'll see. We trust the Lord in that. At this time, our goal or idea is 4 or 5 years in the States before we return to overseas. But who knows? Yeah, we'll see what God does with that. So would you pray with me? Lord, we again thank you for this day. Thank you for your compassion and love that you have poured out on all of us through your Son, the sacrifice of his life. Thank you for your faithfulness and loving us despite who we are, things that we have done, and things that we may continue to do, Lord, that aren't pleasing to you, but you have, you are far greater and more wonderful than we can imagine, and we thank you that you have faithfully been active in our lives, Lord. Thank you that we can always turn to you and trust you, and knowing that you have today already laid out, already planned out, Lord, and we pray that you would guide the rest of this day. I pray that you would bless all of us, and I look forward to seeing how you use each of us in your perfect plan and your perfect way in the future. So I pray these things in your name. Amen.
I find it interesting that I began by sharing kind of my life story and where it's led me, and then Monty has just kind of shared how the Lord has led him and his family. And just a reminder, you know, he said that he grew up in a church probably similar to ours and didn't give much attention to missionaries, and yet look at where he ended up being a missionary now for these 9 years. And I think of my life, I mean, I never thought, oh, I'm going to become a pastor one day. And yet God has a way of just speaking to our hearts and leading us. So let this serve as a reminder that he has a plan and a purpose, just like Monty said, for each of our lives. And it may not be as significant and big as, you know, going to Bolivia or, you know, pastoring a church or whatever, but it's just where God has us, and are we faithful to him in our daily lives. So That's what I heard through all of this, and that he does have a plan and a purpose. And then most important of all, he is faithful. You know, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 5:24. I don't know how many times I've leaned on that verse. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. If he calls you, he's going to supply what you need. So I don't know what you're facing even this week. You know, you might be struggling with something at work or at home or wherever, at school. But if you look to him, he can give you the means to get it accomplished through his ability and his power and might. So thank you for that. And this next hour, after our break time, we're going to allow them to share more specifically about their ministry and so forth. And so I hope you'll stay for that. And then, Tim, if you will come now with for the announcement.